Good evening. How are you doing? Let's start right. Are you doing well? Pete, so good to see you, eh? Where's Ayn? Where's Ayn and Sarah? Jeez, there you go, buddy. Good to see you. Welcome. Oh, friends, it's so good to be with you. And who's on the camp for the first time? Yeah, let's give them a hand, friends. Okay. That's wonderful. That's marvelous. Jackie, good to see you. I said hi to Rob, but I haven't greeted you yet. Good to see you. Oh, friends, you know what? God's gone before us with this camp. God's gone before us. And I tell you, I don't think you're about to walk into a new season. You are in a new season. You're about to experience the Bridge Church. You're about to experience things that you have never experienced in your life. Think of God's experience that you had in the past. God's leading you into something brand new. I don't know what that is. God knows what that is. But when we are willing and we are open-handed, God's going to do things in our lives. Amen. So I'm expectant for this weekend. Gronsky, it's such a privilege to be with you. Charmaine and Werner and Cindy and Umkali and Tani Ina. Yeah, and Albert and Rini, thank you for the invitation and the faith you put in us, just trusting us in this pulpit. It's a remarkable privilege. Thank you. We don't take it lightly, Wendy and I. I'm just here to do the introduction. You can hear the real preacher tomorrow morning. I'm just the introduction, but not to put the focus on myself, just that we get to know one another a little bit better. I've been married to the love of my life for 25 years this year. And baby, it's the best decision I've ever made. Best decision, girl. I thought I loved you 25 years ago. I didn't even know what love is. We have got two kids, Jessie. She just got engaged and about to be married on the 22nd of November. And then my boy, Jaden, he's 21. He's studying mechatronics and still got 3 years to go. And as family, even though they're not here, we feel part of this family. And we've got a very close relationship with 3CI, between 3CI and the Bridge. And it's quite amazing when Grant asked me to, if I would share this weekend. It's quite amazing. We're on Romans 8. And Romans 8 is full of the Holy Spirit. You're in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts are full of the Holy Spirit. Over 50 times, depending which version you read, it varies between 50 and 75 times, the Holy Spirit comes up. I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you, go and take the book of Acts and read it and read it and take your pen and encircle everywhere where you see Holy Spirit. Encircle all the names that you see. Get to know the names. Where does Paul speak? Where does Peter speak? Where does John speak? And then you stop and you ask God, God, but what are you saying to me? If you could use Peter, if you could use John, if you can use Ananias, if you could use Priscilla, if you could use Lydia, if you could use any one of those names, surely, Lord, you can use me. Surely, Lord, you can use me. So, friends, tonight, I just want, as a starting point, I'm not going to preach too long, but I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity. And just to connect with where you're at, I went back. That's fine, Varys. I went back. I'm not going to use that quite a lot. So I went back and I listened to some of your preachers, and it stirred my heart. And one thing I won't forget about you, Grant, when you preach, you've got a gift. And we get to that a little bit later, but you've got an incredible love for God's people. Sometimes you felt like, who sent you? Lord, I just run. And he said, no, I am sent you. And that probably those words were the only reason why you stayed. But God put a love in your heart for these people. And for his bride, thank you for being faithful. Grant, I listened to your preach, and one of the things that stood out is we individuals, The Holy Spirit changes into more like what Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit tells us about the works of Jesus. Werner, you spoke beautifully. You spoke on, we're not lone rangers. We need the Holy Spirit. We need one another. It's like a partnership. Ah, Nomkali. Oh, man. I had another preach prepared for tonight, and then I listened to Nomkali's preach. And he was like a father. It's really just like a father speaking. And one of his words, one of his prayers were, make me full, Lord. Make me full, Lord. So if I can put this weekend into one sentence, it'll be, make me full, Lord. Fill me with your spirit again. Fill me with your gifts again. Or revive within me again what you've placed within me already. We're going to speak a little bit about that. Then Tomo came along, Andrew Thompson. What a gift, hey? What a teaching gift he is to the church. And he just spoke on the power of prayer and the Lord's Prayer. And he used this analogy. He said, the power of access to the Holy Spirit is like opening a dam. I want you to visualize this. Think of all the dams upstream from the Vic Falls. All the dams. I don't know how many there are. I didn't research it. Or even the Niagara Falls. Now imagine all those dams opening at once. What would that waterfall look like? That's the access of power that we have to the Holy Spirit. And then Nick Hardy. Nick, he had an incredible word. He said, the Breach Church, it's time. It's a new season. He prophesied effectiveness in this church, and with effectiveness goes fruitfulness. And I think we have seen fruitfulness, we've seen effectiveness, but we're going to see exponential growth that we have not seen before. God is about to pour out His Spirit over Pretoria because there's a hunger in the lives of people that don't even know they've got a hunger for more of God. Our churches are going to be flooded. Our churches will not be able to contain what Jesus Christ is doing in this town. Amen? Amen. Okay, Bella Bella as well. God is about to pour out His Spirit over Pretoria, over Bella Bella, we pray. At this time, doesn't matter how big our buildings are, doesn't matter how huge our facilities are, sound's not going to matter. Because God will do it. No man will have claim and fame to that. God will do that. Amen. So during this time, I thought of, I just want to bring us all as a starting point. I want to bring us all onto the same page as far as the Holy Spirit's concerned. We come from different churches. Who comes from the AFM church? Levende Woord. Baptist. Methodist. Presbyterian. What's that? Bush Baptist. You know, we come from various churches and we come with these preconceived ideas and preconceived teachings that we've sometimes learned, and it's learned behavior. And we got ourselves into things and we got so used to it that when we walk into something new, we either offend it or we don't understand what's happening or we go with it. If I can ask you today, tonight, just open your hands and say, Holy Spirit, whatever man has taught me, I wipe the table clean. I don't want to listen to Eugene's words. Holy Spirit, won't you put in my hands, won't you put on the table what you want to teach me? No matter which vessel you want to use, I don't want to hear a man's voice. I want to hear your voice during this weekend. Make the table clean. Because when we make the table clean, it's a new wineskin. A new wine can only go into new wineskins. We can't come with our own preconceived ideas. In the book of Acts, there's places where they try and go back and try and go back to the law, the works of the law. Why? It was learned behavior. It's what they've been taught. Let go of those things, friends. You're not yet to, I'm terribly, terribly going to disappoint you if you're just going to listen to me. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will revive something within you. He'll revive something within you. So I'm going to share on three things. The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit upon us. And the Holy Spirit through us. Three things happen with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. And the Holy Spirit works through us. And we need to understand that. We need to understand what the Holy Spirit does. Why? Because if we don't understand, we're afraid. And some of us are afraid of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you tonight, being with the Holy Spirit is the safest place you can ever be. He's gentle. He's a gentleman. He is Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. My wife knows me well, but he knows me better. He was there when Jesus formed me in my mother's womb. He was there before my name was even spoken by my dad or my mom. He knew me by my name before I was even born. See, friends, Father God is in heaven. He's the creator of the universe. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. So it's God the Father. I know you know these things, but I feel like sharing it. God the Son, and God Jesus paid with his blood so you and I can sit in this room. And then he went to be with the Father. And before he went to be with the Father, in John 14-15, he said, I'll ask the Father and he'll send you the gift, the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, before he went up to heaven, he said, go and stay in Jerusalem and you will receive power and you'll receive the gift. My Father has promised you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is not in my heart at the moment. We always say, Jesus is in my hierarchy. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And as we're meeting here, John 17 says he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Where's the Father? Is in heaven. But how is the Father and Jesus with me? Through his Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father is one. But they're three different persons, three different roles. And we're going to speak about the Holy Spirit tonight. I got saved when I was 8 years old. And one night it was a Pentecostal meeting. I grew up in the AFM. And those of you that come from the AFM, I had to unlearn a whole lot of behavior. Not because of the AFM, but because of what I perceived to be. I tell you, I got saved in the AFM church. They made an altar call and I went forward and they said, do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. And I went and knelt and my dad came next to me and luckily he knew I want the Holy Spirit, but I'm not even saved. And he said to me, my boy, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I said, yes, Dad, I want to. And he prayed with me and I accepted Jesus. And then he prayed with me. He said, okay, my boy, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I didn't know what that means. What does a boy of 8 years old know? I said, yes, Daddy, I want you. And I remember my dad put his arm around me and he just started praying in tongues. And it was like I couldn't get a word out at first. But in my childlike faith, I know my daddy is authentic. And if he's got it, I want it. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was coming into me. And I said one word in tongues, kashatara baba yenda. And I didn't know what I was saying. And the next minute, it was like electricity hit my body. And it just spoke. And God filled me with his Spirit. What happened, friends? What happened? You see, we receive the Holy Spirit the day we get saved. You cannot serve Jesus without the Holy Spirit. That's why my dad said to me, Eugene, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's the starting point. So I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and He came into my life. He became part of me. What did I have to do? Nothing. What could I do to receive Him? Nothing. I could just accept Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need You as my Savior. And He came and He made His home within me. And I know it's elementary, these things, friends, but I don't know why God laid it on my heart for us to understand it. Maybe He wants to take us back to basics for a moment. Ephesians says this. Ephesians 1 verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So when I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes living in me. He's the promise. He's the seal. Who is a deposit guarantee of our inheritance. When will our inheritance be? The day I die. Promise inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise and to the praise of His glory. So what happens? The day I meet Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into my heart, and that seals my day of glorification, the day that I'm going to be with Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, friends. Nothing. So I've got Jesus already in me. So if you ask me if you've got Jesus in you, if you serve Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. Romans 8 verse 15 says this. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Fear of what? Fear of what's going to happen when I die. Fear of the unknown. You see, somebody that's not saved, maybe they wonder about death, but somewhere along the line, you're going to wonder, what's happening? Am I coming back? We drove here past a place that says, it was a cemetery, but it is for those people, they believe you come back, you know? It's a reincarnation. That's it. They believe you come back. So some people believe in that. Some believe in other things. But what does the Bible say? No, no, no. You don't have to worry about these things. You don't have to fear these things. The day you close your eyes here, you're going to be with Me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to go through this life, friends. You don't have to go through this life. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Yes, I've sinned, but I'm not saved. Yes, No, you are saved. The day you receive Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we'll speak about here and now. But the day you close your eyes, because you accepted Jesus, you're going to be with Jesus. Amen? Make sense? Romans 10 says this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and with your are justified, and with your mouth that you profess that Jesus, profess your faith and you are saved. 1 Corinthians 12 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Say this, Jesus Christ is Lord. Say Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can say Jesus Christ is Lord, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. That's what that Bible verse says. So you never have to wonder about it. Doesn't give that gives you assurance of salvation? Okay, very basic, very elementary. So the Holy Spirit in me. But then, friends, the Holy Spirit upon me. There's a difference. When I receive the Holy Spirit in me, I receive everything that comes with the Holy Spirit. I'm born with talents, but when I receive the Holy Spirit, I receive gifts. I receive that. It's a free gift. So we're going to look at some scriptures. Each one of us have gifts. Do you know that? Each one of us have a gift, at least one. At least one. Each one of us that sits here, if you belong to Jesus, you accepted Jesus, then you have a gift. So when I got there, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was something, for me, it was something like when the 120 got filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't see tongues of fire, but I did speak in tongues because that is what happened with me. It's not the only sign that you're filled with the Spirit, but it is a sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sense? It's not the only sign, but it is a sign. With me, it was being filled with the Holy Spirit, was speaking in other tongues. And yeah, in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and come to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled. I've heard my daddy speak in tongues, and I spoke in tongues, and although I heard him first, my tongue's different than his tongue. Like a DNA. I don't know how it works. Each one of us are gifted individually for who God made us. If you speak in tongues, do that often. Why? The Bible says it builds you up. It edifies yourself. Builds you up. What does it puff you up? No, it doesn't puff you up. It builds you up. It makes you strong. It just encourages you. You see, Stephen Dollenberg explained it beautifully 2 weeks ago. He said it's like God giving you a love language. And when you speak that language, it's a language that touches his heart because no one else understands it. Sometimes it does happen, like in the book of Acts. It's a language which other people do understand. So I can speak in a tongue, and it may be Russian or German, and one lady may be sitting here that's Russian or German, and she might understand it, and she gets saved. But we don't know these things. Jesus knows these things, right? Jesus knows these things. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, it is like we... Let me explain it to you this way. If I had a plank here today, Rory Dyer used this example, and it's one of the best examples that I could think of. If I had a plank here today, and I give you a couple of nails, and you would nail it in by your own strength, then some of the nails will bend left and right and up and down, but very few would go through the wood. But if you've got a nail gun, and you've got the air into a nail gun, and you hold it against that wooden piece, and you press the lever, it'll shoot those nails right through that piece of plank. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It is like playing those drums. If you're a drummer, you play those drums, but the power's not on. And you play your heart out because you can play drums. You've got the talent, the gifting to play drums. But when the power is on, the sound comes through, and it's a blessing to everybody around. So what the Holy Spirit does is when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it just put those gifts on steroids. Yeah. That's what happens. So when I get saved, I get saved. But it's my responsibility to continue to be filled. Yeah. I don't get filled once. I get filled and I get filled. And I get filled, and I get filled. And the more I open myself up to the works of the Holy Spirit, the more He uses me. And the more He works through me. Because it's not for my benefit. It's not for my sake. It's for the common good of all. If I don't let the Holy Spirit work through me and speak through me and function through me, you're going to lose out. Dare I say this? That sometimes we invite preachers, and when they open, it's not this glorious opening that you expected. And we switch off when we want to miss the little nuggets that the Holy Spirit want to say, because we came to see man and not hear from God. Everyone that's on the pulpit, friends, is just the messenger. Jesus Christ said this in the book of Acts. He says, I speak, I command you. He says through the Holy Spirit he spoke and he gave them command. Or the Holy Spirit, he gave them instruction. Through the Holy Spirit. So when we speak, when you speak to those people around you and you feel this bubbling inside of you, you can't hold it in to just share something that God placed on your heart with the person next to you, how foolish it may even be, share it. I didn't plan this. I could have sat at any table there at the back. Any table. There's some of you I haven't even met. I could have sat with any one of you. And I went and I took my plate. And I took Wendy's plate and I went and fetched some food. And I went back to the table. And I never met the people around the table except I think Joe. And I saw a man sitting here and he was sitting a little bit tight. And I said, okay, now I'll go and sit somewhere else. And I said, go and move over to this space. And they said, no, let's move up. Please sit here. And Wendy and I went and sat down. And we started talking. And I said, who are you? He said, no, I'm Farna Smith. And I said, I'm Eugene Smith. And then I found out his dad is who we called Pastor Houtbeen Smith. Pastor Wooden Leg Smith. Because he lost his leg in an accident on a railway. There's a long story, a testimony around that. He lost his leg. The story that I've just told you where I got born again and the story that I've just told you where I got filled with the Holy Spirit was in his dad's church. God's gone before us. I could have sat anywhere. We could have discussed anything. But he felt the urge to share something about his dad. And I thought, what the heck? Is this true, Jesus? What's in your heart? Share it and the Holy Spirit uses you. Without you even knowing it. I tell you, Farnas, you put courage in my heart for tonight and faith in my heart like no sermon could have done. Just by sitting with you at the table, you're a wonderful man. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in and through your life. Your dad was a legend in the Holy Spirit. Your dad was a legend in the faith. Don't despise the small beginnings that you walked into. There's a legacy that you're walking in. God's doing something new in your life. God's doing something fresh. Don't hold on to the old. It's a new wineskin. It's a new wineskin. It's non-denominational. It's not linked to a nomination. It's not linked to a pastor. It's linked to the work of the Holy Spirit, Farnas. God's doing something new. Sure. So friends, I'm heading for a close because God's given me some prophetic words. Is that all right? Is that okay, friends? If you heard this before, I just want to remind you of this. There are three kinds of gifts. There's manifestation gifts, there's grace gifts, and there's ministry gifts. And if you take note of it, it's fine. Otherwise, go and listen again. Make some notes. Bring your Bibles tomorrow. You can follow or you can just listen with. It's fine. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 to 11 is the manifestation gifts. Manifestation means that is within me that outworks itself. It manifests. All right. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit, capital S, a message of wisdom. One. To another, a message of knowledge. A message of wisdom. God says, if you lack wisdom, what must you do? Ask me. I'll give it to you. Message of knowledge. By the same Spirit, capital S, to another, faith. I've just spoken to Albert. They've spent some time with Rory Dyer. Rory has got a gift of faith. He opens his mouth and you feel, man, you can storm a lion. He's just putting faith inside your heart. What did God put inside of you? Sir, in a boardroom meeting, is everything, everybody saying their say, and you're able to listen to this story, this story, this story, this story. He gives you a word of knowledge and he says, that direction, boys. And everybody said, wow, where did you get that? Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Faith. Gifts of healing. There's a friend of mine, you may know him, Stephen Clarsons. He can just pray for people and they get healed, left, right, and center. Rob Duncan, you've got a gift of healing. Your hands are not just chiropractor hands. You've got a gift of healing, Rob. God's using you. Don't be concerned. Don't be concerned to lay your hands on people. God's going to heal them. You've got a gift of healing. Miraculous powers. It's when somebody is raised from the dead. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another all different kinds of tongues. And still to another interpretation of tongues. How does that work? Just briefly, friends. When we all together here and I say to us all, let's just stand and glorify Jesus. Then you can speak in a tongue. We all praise Jesus. But when we all seated and somebody feels this urge within him and he's got the faith to bring a tongue, he comes to the front or he just stands up and he brings that tongue and he sits down. He's got faith that it's an outcry to God. But then the Bible says somebody else interprets it. See, it still happens within guidelines. There's still order, but God is in it. So he's got faith to bring a tongue. Somebody else has got faith for the interpretation. And we've got all, we all longing to know what that means. Somebody brings the word, it touches my heart, and we all glorify God. Because he trusted God, he trusted God, I trusted God. So it's all about him. Make sense, friends? Okay. Second one is the gift, the grace gifts. Now, grace gifts, if your gift is, that is from Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Who's teachers here? If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's lead diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Cheerfully. Those are serving gifts. And then there's gifts, friends, what we call ministry gifts. Those are gifts to equip the saints for works of service. All right? So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the other gifts, it says to each one. These gifts, it doesn't say to each one. It's not hierarchy, friends. What does the apostolic do? It's not a title, it's a function. Apostolic governs. Okay? Apostolic governs. Prophetic guides. Prophetic guides. Evangelistic gathers. If there's an evangelistic gift, it just gathers. Pastoral guards. The pastoral guards, the pastoral gifts. Gift. And teaching, grounds. Grounds, go deep. Explain to us these things. Break over the scripture and make it easy. Make it easy. Easy, understandable. Grounds. And then lastly, out of all of this is an outflow. And what is the outflow? There'll be fruit. And what is those fruit? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when we function through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of that will always be what God intended it to be. Always. Don't be afraid. Is that all right? Very basic, friends. But those are the basics of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you this. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. When last did you prophesy? When last did you lay your hands on people and you saw them getting healed? When last did you speak in tongues? Now the other question is, have you ever experienced God's Holy Spirit working through you like that? I believe that's what God wants to do with us this weekend. And I want to ask you not to be afraid. All you do is you sit like this. And you say, Holy Spirit, here am I, Eugene. Just use me. Come, Holy Spirit. And He'll come. He'll never disappoint. You see, the Holy Spirit was here long before you and me. He was hovering over the face of the earth before this, anything was here. But we need to tap into Him. He's here long before us. We're tapping into Him. So during this weekend, I want to ask you, if you have ever prophesied in your life, if you've given a prophetic word to somebody and you were disappointed, don't stop venturing out. It's not your doing. If God gives you a prophetic word or a word for somebody during this weekend, don't hold back, friends. We're going to allow for time for prophecy. We're going to allow for time to being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow those times. We're going to allow for healing. We're going to allow those times. And God has given each one of us a gift. How are we going to know if we don't venture out? This is a safe space. When you venture out in the prophetic for the first time, guy said to me, how do I start? Very, very basic. I say, well, don't hatch, don't match, and don't dispatch. Don't hatch, don't tell people they're going to have babies. Don't match, don't tell people they have to get married. And don't dispatch, don't tell people to move. What's left over? Just encourage. If God gives you a scripture, share a scripture and share around that scripture. That's what Jesus. So start venturing out little bit by little bit. And God will give you those things and more and more. God's Spirit's on you, sir. God's Spirit's on you. He sees the cry of your heart. Exodus says, I've seen, I was concerned, I've heard, and I have come down. He's seen you, sir. God's Spirit's on you. He's going to fill you afresh. He hears your cry, sir. He hears your cry. So while I was preparing, we finished with preaching. Can I share some words, Grant? God gave me some words. Okay. God gave me some words. And I'm going to trust during the course of tomorrow, God's going to give us some more words. And I'm not the only one that's going to prophesy. God's given me, I'm not a prophet, but the gift of prophecy does function through me. You don't have to be in the office of a prophet or a prophet. You can just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. So first of all, Grant, Charmaine, when I was preparing, I felt Acts 9 verse 29 for you. And this is where Paul says, he talked and debated with Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. And I want to say to you, Grant, don't be afraid. It's because of Paul's debate and his wrestling that you and I sit here today. He's broken through and he's brought the word to the Gentiles because he debated. The words that I heard over you is debate makes straight. Debate makes straight. God has called you to bring stability. God has called you to bring order, to bring settlement. People feel safe under your care. Part of why we are today is because people feel safe of the gifting on your life. Don't stop debating, Grant. It's difficult. Stand your ground because that's what God called you to. It's a very difficult place to be because it's a wrestle between I'm fighting for people, but I have to fight with God. But I'm fighting for your good. Sometimes people don't understand it. God's Spirit's upon you, Grant. God's Spirit's upon you, Charmaine. There are some battles, Charmaine, that this man is fighting that he will not be able to win without you. You are like a military force behind this man. If he runs into battle, somebody spoke about an army. Somebody spoke about battle. If Grant goes into battle, you're like a military reinforcement behind him that pushes him through into what God called him to do. God has called you. There's a space in Grant's heart that only you can fill. And there's a space in his heart that only God can fill. And he's put you together for a purpose. You're like a military reinforcement. Grant, debate makes straight. Debate makes straight. Albert, Rini. Where is? Acts 10, verse 13. And then verse 19 to 20 and verse 25 to 28. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Verse 20. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Verse 25. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. You don't like change. You like stability. And you like stability. But change is going to come. And change has come. Don't be afraid. It's not something that's going to catch you by surprise. The sign of Peter is God showed him what's going to happen before it happened. And God's going to use you, Albert, to gather a team and take them into the next season, what God has for them. But he'll show you before it happened. God is the God of order. He's not a God of fear. He doesn't push us into things. He prepares our hearts. And as he prepared Peter's heart, he's prepared your heart. It's going to be uncomfortable. But God has put a faith inside of you to take others with you. Change is going to come. Change has happened with you, Rini. I've got the privilege of working with this beautiful lady. And I must say, you're a gift. You're a gift to 3CR. It's like when you stepped in, it's just the things just fell in place. Others take a while to get used to the system. It's like you just came in and it works. You're an absolute delight, really. You're a delight. God's Spirit's on you. You've got a gift of administration. You've got a gift of bringing order in books. You've got a gift to navigate change. And you've got a gift to be an inspiration to your man. You've got a gift. Nurture that gift. Nurture it. God's going to show you the change before it happens, Albert. Don't have to be afraid. It's going to show you visions. Hollywood think they had the first movie. Or Paris thought they had the first movie. No. Peter had the first movie. sheet coming down, four-footed legs. We'll chat about that another day. Werner and Cindy, like my wife would say, squirrel. Werner and Cindy. Acts 9 verse 19 says this. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. This is just after Paul's salvation, Saul's salvation. The next verse says this, verse 20. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. It doesn't say immediately. It says at once. Between verse 19 and verse 20, Galatians 1 verse 5, it's in there. Galatians 1 verse 15 to 17. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me that I might preach to him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. And then it says, at once, when he was ready, at once, he went and had a massive impact. The word I feel for you is you're walking an unconventional road. You don't walk the normal theological road. Your unconventional road. Don't waste your preparation. Don't waste your preparation. That's the word I experienced. It's unconventional. It's almost like Paul's road was unconventional. But never doubt your calling. Cindy, never doubt your calling. There were times where you thought in your... in your room, God, it's time for me to step out. Either take away this call, Father, because it's cleaning me out, or put me into business. Remove this call, Father, because it frustrates me. God's called you. He's called you to preach, but you're in preparation time. And sometimes preparation time is short, sometimes preparation time is long. That's God's way. What I'm saying is don't waste this time. I've listened to you preach. God's working through you, Werner. God's Spirit's on you, Cindy. God's Spirit's upon you. Tani Umkali. And Tani Ina. No, Kali and Ina. Because Jesus calls you by name. Not by titles or by surname. He calls you Ina and he calls you Kali. And it's not disrespectful. It's a word from your Father. John 14 verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And I believe that's been your cry for years. Lord, just show us the Father and that'll be enough. And as I listened to you preaching, it was like the Father, like a Father speaking. Your words were sweet. And it was like you were pouring your heart out over your children. Almost pleading with him. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not their source, but you know this source. And you're going to help many, many people in this house to find the source because God's Spirit is on you. You're going to sit with many, many ladies, Ina, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, and you're going to be to some a mother and some a grandmother. But God has called you to this house because you've experienced God's Holy Spirit and you're going to teach them how to walk in it. And it's going to be like sweet honey. It's going to like they don't want to leave. They just want to come back and come back and come back and come back. And Kali, the same with you. You're going to introduce them to God's Holy Spirit because he's your friend. You've experienced God's Holy Spirit like very few men have. We all had an experience of God's Holy Spirit, but His Spirit is on you for this time, for this community. Walk in it. Huh, I was so glad to hear Han and Sarah is here. Where you are today is an answer to prayer. I'll never forget the camp that we've done. You were looking for a job. And we prayed, and within a couple of months, God gave you another job. God gave you another home. And now God's given you another home again. And I felt this for you. Acts 7 verse 34 recites Exodus. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and I have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. The fact that you found a house where you found a house and sold your house was not your doing. It was for the sake of the people in that area. God heard their cry. God has seen their misery and he was concerned. He has come down and he said, okay, Hein, Sarah, will you move back? And you may say, Lord, how am I going to do that? Acts 28 verse 30 says this, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who come to see him. Open your doors. Just welcome all who comes into your house. God's going to restore marriages in your house. God's going to restore businessmen in your house because he sent you back to deliver his people. Let my people go. I want you to pray over that area every night. Just pray, let my people go so they may worship me. Let my people go so they may worship me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kaylin, where's Amanda? Amanda? She out. Amanda, can I ask you to come and stand with your hubby? Is it inconvenient? You're a gift. You're a gift. Amanda, you're a gift. And your daughter is a gift. God didn't give me scripture, but he reminded me of Paul and Peter. Paul and Peter both ministered the word of the Lord, but they did it sometimes to different people, and they did it in different ways. But the result was the same. People got to meet Jesus. And I feel this word for you. Don't downplay your style. Don't downplay the gift that God has put over you. Yes. 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 Don't downplay the gift that God's put within you. You became timid. You used to be a wild man. You became timid. God says this. I've called you when you were in your mother's womb. Every day of your life is numbered. I know the hair that's falling from your head. I've set you apart. Break out of your shell. Worship radically. Don't worry what people think. Your style is unique, but don't downplay what God's put within you. Don't hold back is the words that I hear. Don't hold back, Amanda. You're going to break out and dance, girl. You're going to break out and dance. And you're going to offend some people. But God will do a work through that in the lives of people. He's called you. What I see is like a ballerina. You know those little boxes that you open and you twirl and you dance? It's like God's sitting there and every time you open that little box and you twirl, he loves it. He wants you to step out again. He wants you to dance and break free. God's called you as a couple. Your ministry and what you do looks totally different to those around you. Don't downplay it. God's Holy Spirit is upon you. Amen. Amen. Sure. Is this okay, friends? We're going to trust God for more words during the weekend. And if you've got a word, please come and share. Peter, you've been through much. I've got the privilege of working with your son-in-law and with your daughter. And they are a gift. And they do your name good. They do your name good. God's Spirit's on you. Your boy's about to get married. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be concerned. God handpicked his wife. She's going to be a gift to you. That couple will be a gift to you. There'll be a time, I prophesy, there'll be a time where they will look after you. There'll be a time where you provide, but they will provide for you. You don't have to worry. You've raised your kids well. They will honor you for as long as you are there. They will not dishonor you. They will honor you. They will do your name good. You don't have to worry about your children. You will see your grandkids. You've seen one already, but you will see your grandkids. Your time's not up, Peter. What's Peter's wife's name? It didn't help, did it? I tried to ask God, what's Jeanette's name? But he doesn't tell me. Jeanette, you're a beautiful lady. God's made you beautiful, and he's given you a heart after his own heart. The day that you said yes to Jesus, there were angels rejoicing, and they never stopped. Jesus wants you to know today, they never stopped rejoicing because of you. The day that you became his child, Jeanette, heaven rejoiced and they never stopped. They're still singing, holy, 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 holy Lord, are you Lord God Almighty, because you saved Jeanette. And you saved Peter. And you saved Farnes. And you saved Corbus. And you saved Ralph. God's Spirit's here, friends. God's Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Jesus. Your kindness, your grace is upon us. Just sit like this. Father, tonight, won't you speak to me? If you must, Father, use prophetic words. But this is your word. And your first choice for me is that I hear you directly through your word. As I read the book of Acts tonight before I go to bed, or some verses, or just one or two verses, in your word, no matter where it is, won't you speak to my heart? And Father, I've always said I never heard you audibly. Until Stephen Dolleberg said to me, Eugene, but you have heard God's word audibly. If you want to hear God's word audibly, just read it out loud. So Father, when I read your word out loud, the words that I hear, may it be your words that you speak into my heart. I pray, Father God, that you'll speak into my heart this week, this weekend, like I haven't heard you for a long, long time. I open my hands. I wipe clean the table of the words that people spoken over me that's not of you. And I ask during this weekend, Father, won't you place your words on the table over my life? Through your word, through people, through song, whatever you want to use, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. Thank you.